everybody, and welcome to the Giselle Show podcast, Meet Friends, where we are making stuff up, being real, and talking about it. I'm so happy to have you here. I'm Giselle. Nice to see you. Welcome to any new listeners from the Nooner podcast. We was doing a marketing ploy today. So we follow right on the heels of the Nooner podcast, so to make it easier for the listeners to check us out. So welcome to them. We have with us today some wonderful guests. We have with us Vanessa McGrady. She is a travel blogger, personal finance blogger, and a longtime creative spirit. Hello, Vanessa.
Hello, Giselle.
Nice to see you.
And you.
We have with us Madison Perry, who, if you was a listener of this show, you might remember from December. He was with us. Madison Perry is a storyteller and an author and a really nice guy. Hello, Madison.
Hello. Thanks for having me again.
Oh, it's nice to see you. Yeah, you're easy on the eyes, and your personality is easy on the spirit.
Thank you very much. I care more about the first one. I'm very vain, but I appreciate both compliments.
Okay, good. You're doing good. And we also have with us longtime show favorite, Amos Glick.
Good Morgenhausen.
Good Morgenhausen. We don't say this in German. Amos like to add Hausen to everything.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
I was watching some film lately, and there was lots of Hausens in there.
Yeah,
a German guy was saying Hausen at the end of everything. I swear to God.
Was it you?
Yeah,
in the film?
You're right. Oh, sorry.
Amos is an actor, an improviser, a musician. We're very happy to have him. I wanted to start off with this little thought. First, a confession from me. So as I'm prepare for the show, you know, and I think, okay, what bits is we going to do on the show, creative bits, what story do I want to tell, 100 words, all the things I want to figure out for the show. We take like 2 or 3 weeks in between each show. You think that would be enough time. But what I notice has happened to me is I put it off. And so last night, I'm up until midnight figuring out the show and writing the little bits and the 100 words and figuring out the things that we're going to do today and setting up the show order. And it's stressful, but not so bad because I enjoy to be involved in the creative process. But what is really stressful that I notice is all the time leading up to when I finally start, I'm just up in my head worry. Oh, I got to do it. Oh, this idea is not good enough. Oh, I got to think of something really great. It's not going to be good enough. This inner critic is always riding me, man. And up in my business and making it really hard to just do the work. I noticed that by waiting until the last minute, it shut up the critic because there's no time. There's just no time to second guessing or to doubt myself. I just have to make a choice and go with it. But why can't I bring myself to that kind of freedom and decisiveness of just putting out some artwork and trusting it, or maybe putting out the first draft and then rework it later? Why can't I do that early? Why do the inner critics stop me from even trying until it's down to the wire?
Well, she has time. She has time to do that. You know, you're giving her a little space to do that.
So how, if there is time to do the show, how do I shut her up?
You have to leave her on the bus.
How do you do it?
I don't know.
I try and overcome the inner critic by just having no filter. I'm speaking more about writing than planning a show, so it may be a bit different, but it's really hard to think through problems, I find. So if I start writing through them, so if I want to add a joke to a story or something, I will write down every possible joke I can think of. And the first 5 will be not good. And I'll just write there in the document, make a list until I hit one that I'm like, oh, I think that's pretty good. And then I put that in and can move on. So I find if I just start typing and don't allow myself to stop until I've come up with a solution, you're sort of giving yourself permission to have bad ideas. And then one of the bad ideas might actually be a good idea, but if you just sat there thinking of it, you'd be like, no, that's a bad one. It's not even worth writing down.
Yes, I like that. You give yourself permission to have bad ideas.
Yeah.
My response would also be about giving yourself permission, but it's giving yourself permission to honor your own process. I think different creative types behave in different ways. You have some people who wake up at 7 o'clock in the morning, they jog, they do a bunch of stuff, and then they work for 4 hours, no matter what it is, actors, writers, whatever. I ain't like that. And I've tried to be, and it does not work for me. And it doesn't mean that I couldn't be more organized and more less procrastinating, but I also trust my process now. I mean, at this point in my life, when you're 22, maybe you should try different things. But if you're in your midlife and you are a procrastinator, which I don't know if that's the right word for an artist, if you're a gestator, let's say, and then you vomit it out.
Deadline driven.
Yeah, whatever. I think you find that it works for you, and whether it's because it shuts off your inner critic in that last minute or not. I don't like the idea of committing to something too early sometimes. I think it makes you commit to that too early sometimes in the process for me.
You think maybe it shut down ideas?
I would say you're doing work all along. Like I know for me, especially in writing, I'm writing in my head when I'm driving, wherever I'm going. And so it's not like I'm not working on the projects or sitting with the characters. It's just they're gestating. And then when I sit down at the 11th hour, I kind of juggle all those things and make choices then after I've sat with them for 6 years.
But also, you know, I don't know if you have to make your inner critic such a bad guy. You know, I feel like your inner critic is probably protecting you a little bit from being an ass. You know what I mean? Oh. So I think your inner critic has a purpose. It's so that you don't just, you know, like put the first pancake out there. Like maybe you should have done, you know, the second or third pancake instead. But I feel like the inner critic can protect you.
That's probably right, because one of the bits that I was going to do is What's Wrong With You? That's the name of the bit.
We don't have enough time.
I'm joking. I don't want to do that. That's really great. That's really great ideas. I love that.
Yeah. I mean, how do you harness your inner critic? I don't think it's about muzzling it or abandoning it, but I feel like how do we harness the power of the inner critic for your best work?
That's what I have to learn to do. Right now, she just yell at me and I run and hide and she find me and keep screaming and I try to hide again and it's a big chase and a lot of screaming. This is all in my head, inside my head. But so far, there's no harnessing, no redirecting of the power, like jujitsu.
Yeah, can you jujitsu your inner critic? That's the question.
Karate. You lose her energy, redirect.
Well, no. I wish everyone could see your jujitsu motion that you were doing.
Yeah, I'm trying to redirect. Beautiful. Grasshopper.
Yeah.
Wax on, wax off. I wanted to start today, one of our listeners, the lovely and talented Joseph Douglas Watson, have sent in 100 words, and I want to share those today because they're really fun and it's a beautiful thought. Joseph Douglas Watson say this: 4 eternal truths for a better self. 1, be honest, never lie, especially to yourself. If you don't like your reality, take action to improve it. 2, be true. Different from being honest, be true to yourself. Don't shy away from your thoughts or feelings. If it doesn't feel right, don't do it. 3, be authentic. Different from being true. If you are a loud person, be loud. If you are flamboyant, let your swishy self skip down the road to your dreams. Don't let anyone dim your shine. And 4, be sincere. Sarcasm and hyperbole are for the weak. You are strong and deserve to tell the things the way they are. Thank you, Joseph Douglas Watson. I really love that. You know what is my favorite part of that? Let your swishy self skip down the road to your dreams.
I know. I would like to see a visual on that. I would like to. I hope he could send in a video maybe sometime, and we could post that.
Yeah. Joseph Douglas Watson. I wish I had reached out to him to read it himself. Joseph Douglas Watson can be found on Twitter at JDBoy2000, and he's an illustrator. He do beautiful illustrations, really fun. I would say they are sort of dramatic cartoons. They're colorful illustrations, cartoon in style, but he captures a drama and an intensity in the people he draws. It's very beautiful. He drew a picture of me. Mm-hmm. We put that up on the Tumblr, maybe. Okay, someday. Someday. So thank you so much to Joseph Douglas Watson. I like those. Be honest, be true, be authentic, and be sincere. That's great.
And big swishy.
And swish. Swish. What did he say?
I don't know.
Swish down the road to your dreams. Yeah.
Show us your swish.
Show us your swish. Say that five times fast.
Show us your swish. Show us your swish. Show us your swish. Show us your swish.
Was that four times?
And Howlsen.
Pretty good.
Howlsen.
Just with Howlsen. That was good. That was really good, even though you just had dairy.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So it's your swish and Howlsen. ladies and gentlemen, Amos Glick.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Howlsen.
Don't get old. Tell what happened. Did we talk about this on the show? No,
I don't think so. My ex-girlfriend?
Yes.
I was dating a German girl. And before that, I had always done the Hausenhausen, you know. Oh, das ist eine Kappenhausen, ja. Das ist eine Mikrofonhausen. Und das ist eine Computerhausen. Because if you want to, I had no
it
way.
It sounds like German.
Yeah, so. And so I was doing this. You know, there's a couple of words like Haus, which means house in German, and Hausen, and there is a nugget of truth in that generality there. But I was dating this girl, and I would do this every once in a while for her, and she would go, "This is not funny. We don't talk like this. We don't put Hausen in every word." And I'm like,
"Did
she think it's a joke."
Was funny?
Yes, but not about German. No. And then there was the whole. When I was learning how to say ich or ich, and what's the difference between ich and ich? So remember this routine. Yeah. So this is me learning how to say ich. Ich.
No, ich.
Ich.
No, ich.
Ich.
No, ich.
Ich.
No, ich.
Ich. It no, went ich. On forever. Like I never got it, according to her.
And she would just say no, ich, over and over again.
Yeah, she would, yeah.
I loved it.
Oh, my Lord.
I want to meet this lady.
She's actually really great.
Yeah.
She sounds wonderful. She. I know it wasn't her fault. It's all Germans, unfortunately. They have sense of humor about some things and not about others.
So I'm gonna give you a little intro, which is Amos Glick is an actor. His short film "A Man Wakes Up" is making the festival circuit and will be seen at the Vero Beach Wine and Film Festival in June in Florida. He's also an improviser. He performed long-form musical improv with his new troupe, Fraudway LA, and they can be seen in Los Angeles. And Amos, what are you going to do for us today?
Well, I don't. What am I singing right now?
Did you want to do the hockey?
Oh yeah. I mean, you tell me what I'm doing. I'm prepared for whatever you need.
This is great. We're gonna have you do a song a little later on.
Okay.
But for now. Amos is a big fan of one of the hockey teams in the National Hockey League. I think the Sharks?
The San Jose Sharks.
He's a big fan. And they are playing in the final.
That's correct.
And which is start tonight or last
night? No, it started last night and we lost. So I'm a little bit cranky about it.
Oh, it's a sensitive topic.
It's a bit sensitive, but you know. It's the first time we've made it in 25 years of the Sharks being in the league. It's the first time we've made it this far. And there's been kind of, I don't know if curse is the right word, because it's only, you know, I think you got to be around for like 70 to 100 years for a real curse to build. But
is that a real team, though? I've never even heard of the Sharks.
The San Jose Sharks?
Is that a real thing?
We've been like in the elite top of the league for years. Really? I'm about ready to get up there.
This is perfect.
Sure, can someone fact check that? Really?
I checked it.
Wow.
Penguins and Blackhawks.
Yeah. It would be sad if we went to your house and you're just watching a blank screen.
I know.
Rooting for
it's all in my head.
A hockey team.
It's all in my head. Well, actually, a lot of people get on my case because I was born in a very, very, very hockey part of the country outside of Boston, and I grew up playing hockey, and I was a huge Bruins fan. but I'm trapped in the 1970s Bruins fandom. Like, I stopped really watching hockey in the early 80s, and so I don't really have an association with the Bruins unless I go back to when I was 10. So I moved to California, and about 14 years ago started watching the Sharks and just got hooked.
Yeah. Well, here's the game I want to play with you. I had asked Amos to prepare to explain the game of hockey to me and anyone else who want to learn, because I don't know a thing about it. So listen, this is the game.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to give you a tight amount of time.
Oh, crap.
Like, can you do it in 1 minute, or do you need 2 minutes?
I don't know. What, just to explain the game of hockey?
Yeah, as fast as you can.
Oh, my God.
And then we have some basic knowledge questions. What? Basic knowledge questions. And so after you explain it, if between the three of us we get all the questions right, you get a
question. Oh, no. This is impossible.
Do you want 2 minutes or 1 minute?
You have to decide. I'm just going to go for it.
I don't know anything about how complicated.
I think we should see what happens in 1 minute, because it's virtually impossible.
Okay, ready? Here we go. 1 minute to explain the game of hockey. Ready, go.
Okay, so you've got a sheet of ice, which I'm sure you're familiar with, right? So it's broken up into two sides, your defensive zone and your offensive zone. There are two teams of six, three forwards, two defensemen, and a goalie on each side. And the object is to move the puck, which is the little black disc, when you have possession, from your side of the ice or from wherever you have it, into the offensive zone, the other side of the ice, and score a goal. So the thing is that it's not, you can't just go down there. You have to stay on sides. Well, what is on sides? Well, you can't, there's three lines in hockey. Boy, this is hard. In the center, the ice is divided by the red line. Then between the red line and the goal, there's a blue line on each side. If you, as the offensive player, enter the zone on the other side of the blue line before the puck does, you are off sides, unless you are controlling the puck.
Oh my God, that's like corporate America. That's exactly what that sounds like.
And then, of course, you have to hit it. Now, the thing is, there are rules in hockey. No, I gotta tell more. Oh, my hockey. My old
hockey.
Do you
want another minute?
Nah, screw it. Well, I mean.
Does he need another minute?
No.
You think we can get
There's no way.
I think there's going to be record viewing of the next Stanley Cup Finals game. Because now America understands hockey.
Okay. Here we go. Okay. So here are the questions. And if between the three of us, we get all of the questions right.
Woo! Oh my God, I did pretty well!
Okay, don't give it away. Then Amos will get the cookie. Okay, here we go. Okay.
Okay, so first question. How many players on a team?
Six.
That's correct.
Right? Yes. Three forwards, two defense, and one goalie, he say.
I mean, actually, there's a broader, your roster is bigger. I think it's 21 or 22 where you've got a backup goalie and then you have, but that's the whole team, but on the ice at one time. Hey, I couldn't get everything, but that's it. Okay. For what I said, you got the, what colors are the lines?
Uh-oh. Wow. Red, and there was a blue one.
Blue?
That's correct.
Oh, that's correct.
How many goalies are on the ice?
Two.
That's right. This is an interesting question. How many passes must you make before you can shoot?
Oh, this you
I did not
tell
get
us.
It. I did not get.
We're gonna guess.
I think zero.
There's no required amount.
So glad you answered that.
Very
yes.
good.
And here's
good.
The last one.
Okay.
And I can't believe that as the last one I actually got to this. Explain offsides.
If a player is ahead of the puck.
When they are not being cool. The player is totally uncool.
The ice is a safe space.
Exactly.
You are correct, Giselle.
It's when they get ahead of the puck.
Yeah, the only exception being like if I were entering the zone backwards and was fully in control of the puck, that would be okay.
Okay.
But otherwise, if you've got the puck and I'm in the zone before you are, I'm offside.
Right.
You guys did great. I did great. I want to give myself a hand.
Very good.
I just want to say that it is the best sport on the planet.
We'll could you make a game with the Sharks versus the Jets?
Good.
I would like to see that.
There is a team called the Winnipeg Jets.
Sharks versus the Jets.
I think, because some teams from different parts of the country only play each other every so often. Whereas if we're in the same division, we play each other a lot. I think every time the Sharks and the Jets play,
Rita Moreno.
They need to do a dance off.
I do.
Fight.
I think they should torchete their ass. Yes.
I think it would be amazing.
Yes.
Yeah, they're not a very good team because they can't make any trades. Because when you're a Jet from your first year to last. Dying Jet. Thank you. Thank you.
The rules as governed by musical theater.
Okay, and I have another quiz for you, Amos.
Okay,
this
let's
one
do
is
it.
For you. And we have quiz music. Okay, this is the quiz for you, which is you have to figure out if I'm going to give you two names. You have to figure out which one is the NHL player and which one is the IKEA product.
That's great.
Okay. First one, Backstrom or Beckvom?
Backstrom.
Is?
The Capitals.
Yes. Nicholas Backstrom from the Washington Capitals. And you get a bonus point if you can tell us what product is the Beckvom.
The Beckvom is a it's for people who have spinal bifida.
It's a step stool.
Okay, I thought it straightened your spine.
Okay, Kopitar or Kopitar?
Kopitar. I don't know how to pronounce it. Kopitar.
From the LA Kings.
That's right.
I hate them. And Kopitar is a bed frame.
Yeah.
Okay. Mulig or Mueller?
Mirko Mueller is on the Sharks. He is a defenseman, y'all. Yeah? And he is Germanhausen.
He's Germanhausen. He's a
young player. He's playing in the, what you're calling, in the AHLhausen, which is the sub-league to the NHLhausen. He did not play in the, at this point, in the Stanley Cuphausen Finalshausen.
Is he there at the games, though?
I don't know if he dresses or comes to the games. I haven't
he
seen him around.
He watching it.
Well, I don't think he's on the roster. Like I said, you get your 22 players on the roster, and those guys, even
if they're
not
playing.
He can
get discount tickets, I'm pretty sure. So.
He gets one comp.
He can go, yeah. He's on the list.
Okay. They fall apart after 6 months.
Oh, no. Hornqvist or Hunsbor?
Hornqvist. I don't know what team he's on. I can't remember.
Pittsburgh Penguins.
Ah, that's the team we're playing.
Yeah.
Those bastards.
Patrick Hornqvist. And the Hunsbor
is a chin-up bar. For dogs, a Hund bar.
Is an extra warm comforter.
Mm.
They specify extra warm. Okay. Magnarp or Megna?
Ooh, say that again, please.
Magnarp or Megna?
Could you use the name in a sentence? No, I'm kidding. I have no idea. Say it one more time.
Magnarp or Megna? I would have said Magnarp.
I would say Megna would be the name, but I really don't know. I'm stumped.
You got it. Jason Megna, he plays for the New York Rangers.
Probably a rookie.
And the Magnarp is a floor lamp. Okay. Stastny or Stenstorp?
Oh, come on. Stastny.
St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, we took them out.
Oh, I
see. And he's one of the great American players, U.S. born.
Stenstorp is a kitchen cart.
Yes.
Okay. Pilort or Palat?
Palat.
Good, you got it. Andre Palat, Tampa Bay Lightning. The Pilort is a fabric design that they have. Pilort.
Very important.
Okay. Blaska or Bieska?
Bieska.
Anaheim Ducks. You're very good.
I watch a lot of hockey.
The Blaska is a dustpan. Okay. Hjalmarsson or Hjalmaren?
Hjalmarsson.
You got it. That's very good. I did notice that the announcers call him Jarmelson, but it's not. It should be Hjalmarsson.
Oh, okay.
And the Hjalmaren.
How did you notice that? When did you watch?
Well, I had to, for this bit, last night
you
at 11:45. Yeah, last night.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to the, I find examples of this player's work on YouTube I can hear the announcer say their name so that I know how to pronounce
what
them.
What research?
You know who did that? Was Helmut.
He helped
me with it.
He's such a stalwart.
Yeah. Last one. Tutu, Rutu, or Rod?
Well,
that's three.
There's two of those are
players.
Yeah, Tutu and Rutu. And
you got it!
And there used to be a Chichu who was a shark.
Chichu?
Chichu.
Tutu, Rutu, Chichu, and Rod?
Well, and when they with these names, because they sound like choo-choo and whoo-hoo, people get the little choo-choo trains when they score and they go whoo-hoo, they blow the little, you know, those little wooden choo-choo trains.
Yeah,
things, so.
It sounds like a law office. Tutu, Rutu, Chichu, and Rod. Okay, so you got Tutu and Rutu, and Rod is a table lamp.
I think I had a rod once.
Hopefully you still do. Sorry. Hey, Tyson Sehner is listening to us right now. Thanks, Tyson. Nice to see you.
Morning, Woodenhausen.
Woodenhausen. You did very good almost on
Thank
that
you.
Quiz. Bravo to you.
That was fun.
Yay. Oh, now I don't know how to get out of this. Okay, here we go. Hold on. I have to get back to where I was. Yeah, very good. We do the hockey game. What time is it? 11:26. Do we have time? 11:26. Let me ask my engineer. Should I do 100 words now? Do one of them? Or the story? 100 words. 100 words. All right. We put out the prompt for the 100 words was the word feverish. And let me, I have to do the jingle. I have a jingle. You guys have to join in. It's a little bit intuitive. How many words do you get when you write 100 to 120 words?
100 to 120 words.
Yeah. that's great. Would anyone like to go first with the 100 words?
Well, mine sort of relates to what we've been discussing, so.
Do it. To it.
It's more than 120, but
that's fine.
Not that much more. This is just what came up for me. I did not do feverish, though. I just kind of...
Yeah, that's fine. You can go whatever you like.
When I was a kid, I remember seeing the prototypical American male portrayed on TV as a guy who sat in his easy chair, wearing tidy whities, drinking a beer, and watching sports. I remember thinking, I can't now, nor will I ever be able to relate to that American man. I just don't know how he thinks. I went to earthy summer camps, an artsy high school, a pacifist college. I lived in Spain, Israel, and San Francisco, traveled the U.S. and the world performing political theater and worked as a clown in a circus. Yet now, one of my absolute favorite things to do is to recline in my IKEA chaise lounge, wearing my Lululemon, sipping a microbrew, and watching ice hockey on my 42-inch plasma. I couldn't escape it. I have become the American man.
Oh, that's great.
That's exactly where I was wearing sweatpants yesterday, but everything else, I had a pale ale watching the game when I got the email from you, and I'm like, I am fucked.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Very nicely written and beautifully done.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to have a quick break right now. Before we go, I want to again welcome to our new listeners and followers and tell you, listen, you can get in touch with us. We like to hear what is on your mind. You can tweet to us at The Giselle Show. And our engineer, Anthony, is working on that Twitter. You can also tweet to me at GiselleNet, GISELE. NEWT, hashtag The Giselle Show. You can email to us, studio@thegiselleshow.com. And of course, everything is on our podcast website, podcast.thegiselleshow.com. You're listening to The Giselle Show podcast with friends. We will be right back.
chandrai joy nom pe pada